17:17. Proverbs 17:17. Don't forget to spread the word. For the next few months, we'll be teaching and preaching on seeing Christ in the Old Testament. Not a big crowd here today, but I tell you, if you look at Belinda's Facebook post, you'll see where usually there's over 100 people watch that live. That's not counting the ones that I share it with, and they watch it later on. Proverbs 17:17. Most of you know this verse. Some of you even remembered it. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. We'll talk to you for just a few minutes about loyalty. Loyalty. You know, I looked it up to make sure I had the right meaning. It means fidelity to a person or a cause. And so that verse fits right in there. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity or the hard times. And there's several kinds of loyalty. Now, I want to thank God, number one, that God's always loyal.
Yes.
He's always loyal.
Yes.
And like I've said many times before, a friend is someone that walks in when everybody else walked out. And so that's loyalty is what that is. And their friends are few and far between. Loyal people to any cause at all, are few and far between. Most people will say they're loyal to their family or their job or their church, but like that verse says, what about adversity? What about the hard times? What about the failure times? You know, we all fall. We all, at some time, we've all been failures in every area of our lives, you know. And so there's different kinds, talking in the Bible, there's different kinds of loyalty. Turn to Acts 25. Acts chapter 25. Look at verse 7 through 11. Acts 25. I'll give you time to get there. It's Wednesday night Bible study. We're talking about loyalty. Fidelity to a person or a cause. 25, verse 7. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about, and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. In other words, he was saying, I'm a Roman, and you know I did nothing wrong, and by Roman law, I'll be proved to be innocent. So I want to stand before Caesar, is what he's saying, not the Jews. And for if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Now, the first thing you've got to realize is there's loyalty in people. There's loyalty in people. These people, these Jews, who used to be his friends before he was saved, they've turned against him. They're not loyal to him. Now, they're traitors. They're Judases. They're what's the guy's name? The revolutionary. What, Benedict Arnold? I knew, I was fixing to say Patrick Henry. I knew that wasn't it. Benedict Arnold. And, so these people were not loyal to Paul. They were loyal to him as long as he was doing what they wanted. But the moment he got born again and turned the other way around, they became disloyal. And I want you to notice this too. Paul was loyal to the law. He was loyal to the Word of God. He was loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have easily bailed out right here. He could have. Several times he had the opportunity to turn coat and run and bail out and become a hypocrite. But he was a loyal man. Before he got saved, he was loyal man. I mean, he ran around and locked up Christians and took them to have them killed. He was loyal. He was a loyal person to the Jewish faith. Now, a lot of people think that they're loyal to something until the hard times come. Men and women might say, well, until death do us part, until the hard times come, and then one of them jumps ship. A lot of church members will say, I love my church, and I'll be loyal to my church, unless something happens that rubs them the wrong way, or maybe somebody, or maybe financial troubles or something come up. Thank God we've never had that. We've had a few come through here and say they were loyal and then become disloyal. Now I want to go ahead and put a little note right here. I've never hated any of those people. I've never belittled them in front of everybody. I've tried to be loyal to my word. And if they'd have called me and said, I need some food, I'd have got them some food. If they'd called me and said, I need some clothes, I'd have got them some clothes. But they separated from me. They were the ones that were disloyal, not me. This church wasn't disloyal to them. They were disloyal to this church. You understand what I'm saying? And so there's all kind of people. There's people who will say, you hire me, I'll be at this job for the rest of my life. And as soon as a higher paid job comes along, dollar an hour, they'll jump ship and run over there, and they'll tell that guy the same thing. But there's some loyal people. There's some loyal people. Whether it's good or bad, while we were looking for buildings and all this as we were growing, I went to one church. And the churches, this church died back in the 80s, early 80s. It died, big Southern Baptist church. It's in a bad part of town now. And I left them a note. I told them what was happening. Our church was growing, you know, things was happening. They were down to six people. And their sanctuary, they had a sanctuary and a balcony. Yeah, big church, beautiful on the inside. You could open that door and go in. It was perfectly preserved, just like it was built in 1976. Beautiful, perfectly preserved. They took care of it. They'd rented out the little groups. They had a little black church meeting in there on Sunday mornings. But to make a long story short, there was a deacon, an older fellow. He was in charge of it. And I talked to him. Then they came up to our church and they heard us preach and worship and they liked it. And I talked to them again. And I really don't know I do know what happened. A disloyal man that was coming here, he said he was a preacher. He jumped in front of me and tried to get them to make him their pastor. Well, he ain't never pastored a church. He can't preach the fuzz off a peach. And he's certainly not a leader. But that old deacon, he told me this. He said, I was the contractor on this building. He owned a construction company. He's in heaven now. But he said, my construction company built this church, and I told the Lord when I built this church that I'd never leave it. I'd never leave it, and I'd take care of it. And he did. He just died a couple years ago in his 80s. And he stayed there. Now, I'm not saying he wasn't a troublemaker. I don't know who caused all the trouble that run everybody off. They couldn't keep a pastor. But I know this. He was loyal to his word that he would stay at that church and he'd be the last one out. He is loyal to it. Now, some people come in churches, they say that, but they really don't mean that. Right. They mean as long as everything's going my way and I got these little fuzzy feelings, you know, I'm going to stay. But the minute I get the poochie lip, I'm out of here. Amen. You know what a poochie lip is. Y'all get them too. I see you while I'm preaching. And I'm out of here. And so they say they're loyal. These people say they're... But then you have other loyal people. I'm gonna say this, and some of y'all might disagree with me. That's fine. That's fine. You're free to disagree because this ain't scripture. But when we first voted our president in, I wasn't sure about it. I figured he was, and forgive me, folks, but I figured he was a New York heathen.
Amen.
Heathen, spell that. That's H-E-A-T-H-E-R. Heathen. I'm telling you. But as he, as people begin to gravitate toward him, people of faith, they say, he got better. Now, he doesn't even take a salary. He donates the salary to some cause like veterans and things like that. Every month, he takes that check and writes his name on it, donates it to somebody else. You can't buy him. I mean, these rich politicians go in there with money. He laughs at it. He says, I got more money than that than the shoebox in my closet. You can't buy a man that's got more money than anybody else has got. You can't buy him. He's patriotic. I really think he's loyal to our country. If he wasn't, I couldn't put up with what that man's been going through. I couldn't do it. All the negativity, all the lies, all the hoaxes. I couldn't put up with that. And by the way, his wife's loyal, or she'd have left him a long time ago. She's loyal. Now, I think you'll be more loyal to your church than you are to your country. And then there's some people that say they're loyal to the Lord as long as it's convenient. It's just like our verse said, a brother's born for adversity, times of adversity. Well, that means that person is there for the hard times. Yes. And there's a lot of church members, they're the same way. They say, I'm loyal to the Lord until they got maybe a report of cancer or something like that. And then you go see them, they say, well, I've lost my faith. The Lord didn't answer my prayers. I said, well, if you ain't going to hell, he answered the biggest prayer you ever had. Yes. So there's a loyal people. David and Jonathan in the Old Testament were perfect examples.
Yes,
the Bible says they loved each other.
Yes.
They weren't brothers physically, but spiritually they loved each other like brothers. And Jonathan saved his life, saved David's life several times when Saul was wanting to kill him. Jonathan would go tell him, David. And so there's some loyal people. Now I'm going to be honest with you, there's not many people going to be loyal to you. But you get somebody that's right with God, and they love Jesus, and they love people, they'll be loyal to you. Now, we've all let people down, to understand that. But I'm not talking about a failure. I'm talking about somebody that says, I'm going to be there, and I'll stand right there with you. I'll stand right there with you. And so there's some loyal people, and I thank God for that Jonathan David story. It's such a beautiful story of two young men that love each other like brothers, though they're not. And they're loyal to the end. All right, now turn to Esther real quick. Esther, chapter 2. Esther, chapter 2. Now, of course, you know the story. They're having a party, and everybody, all the women, these maidens are called to the king, and they dance and all that. And verse 14, in the evening she went on the march. She returned to the second house of the women to the custody of the guy that kept the concubines. And I want you to notice verse 15. Now, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abigail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. In other words, talking about clothes and stuff. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of them, of all them that looked upon her. Now skip down to verse 20. Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people. In other words, she hadn't told them she was a Jew. She didn't tell them. It wouldn't have been good. So she hadn't told them. And she was told by Mordecai. Go ahead and read it. As Mordecai had charged her, he told her, don't tell them who you are. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Two of the king's chamberlains, Bitham and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth. They were mad. And sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it under Esther the queen. And Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Now, I know it's a little complicated because of the way they arrange Old English there, but I want you to notice this. Esther was loyal to her family, and not telling them she was loyal because they were hating Jews and killing Jews. She was chosen because of her beauty to be in the king's house. Now, she was loyal to her family by not revealing who she was at that time because Mordecai told her not to. And she was also, but then when it came down to it, she was loyal to the king too. And when Mordecai found out that two of these guys were going to assassinate the king, then Mordecai told her to go tell the king, and they revealed it to the king, and the king got to live, and he killed those two guys. Now that shows me that she wasn't just loyal to her past family, but she was loyal to her new family too. Now look at me. Think about this. If we're going to betray anybody, we usually do it to our own family. Because we figure they'll forgive us quicker than anybody else will. Come on. If we're going to be disloyal, we're probably disloyal to our own family. Yeah. I mean, there's men that go to church every Sunday, you don't know it, but they beat their wives. They mistreat their wives. Y'all still with me? And they in church every Sunday. They're not loyal to her. There's people every Sunday, church people go to church and they abuse their children. They abuse their children. Now they're disloyal to their own family. Why do you think they'd be loyal to your family? If she hadn't been loyal to her family, I know she wouldn't have been loyal to the king and his family. And see, loyalty goes to the family, but it also goes, for instance, suppose there's all kind of broken marriages and stuff now. Well, let's just give a good example. Danny and his wife adopted that little baby boy who is her nephew, her niece's son, right? Yeah, her niece's son. Now that, and now they've taken that boy in and they're loyal to that baby. And they're raising him like he is their very own. Like he's their son. Danny said they'll have to put him in a wheelchair to take him to go to high school graduation because he'll be so old he can't walk by then. But he's loyal. They're loyal to that family. They said, we didn't want that baby being put in social services. Somebody in the family needed to take that baby. And now his daughter's doing one of his daughters doing the same thing to another baby, adopting this other baby. And look, if we can't be loyal to our family, who can we be?
That's right.
Now, I'll be honest with you. As a pastor and as a man, sometimes we get wrapped up in our work. Are you still with me? We get wrapped up in our work and we forget our family. Like taking a job where you're going to fly all over the country. I'm glad the Lord got to throw a wrench in that one. Amen. 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 Now I know not every truck driver is like this, but I've seen men get a job driving a truck just so they wouldn't have to have responsibility at home.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I'm in California. I can't do nothing with that boy. You'll have to do something with him. It's easier to do that than it is to whip your son, discipline your son. Amen. Well, I can't fix that water pipe. I'm over here in Tucson, Arizona in my truck. I can't fix that water pipe. Amen. Now look. I'm not saying every truck driver's like that, but I'm saying sometimes men look for ways to be disloyal because they don't want the responsibility of loyalty. Amen? Women, same way. You women don't get too uppity there. Women, same way. Amen? Well, I can't cook. I have to work. You know, my mama worked every day in the cotton mill, and I never heard her say that. Hello. My mama cooked us breakfast every morning. Yeah. We was at school during the day and had great lunches. And at night, she cooked supper every night. Yeah. And she worked. She's the only worker in there. And brought in the check, bought the groceries, and prepared them because she was loyal to her children. Now, her husband wasn't. He took off. But she was loyal to her children to her dying day. Amen. Now, so there's family loyalty. And by the way, you'll be loyal to your family. And 2 Samuel, real quick. 2 Samuel chapter 11. I got to hurry. 2 Samuel chapter 11. This ain't 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'm going to go ahead and start reading because I got more scripture to read. Chapter 11, start with verse 8, if you will. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house, wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. In other words, the king sent something to eat with him. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. You see that? And when they told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then dost not thou not go down unto thine house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. Now we know the story. David was trying to trick him into going into his wife. But I want to show you his loyalty. He was loyal to a cause. Now of course he was loyal to David. He didn't know what David was doing to him. He didn't know what all had happened. But that's not what he's been loyal to. He refused to eat. He refused to sleep at home and go be with his wife and enjoy his time while he was there. And when the king confronted him, he said, I can't do that. Joab, my general, is out there fighting, sleeping in the dirt. The other soldiers are out there sleeping in the dirt, and they're out there fighting. And I cannot do that. I cannot enjoy my life while they're out there fighting for the cause. Now, we'll be loyal to a cause. He wouldn't enjoy himself while other people suffered for the cause of Israel. That's a sorry man that enjoy living while other men are out fighting his battle for him. Amen. And sometimes you ought to find a cause and be so dedicated to it that you will not be disloyal to the cause. For instance, everybody is supposed to be keeping people out of hell. Every one of us. That's the cause that he saved us for. That's the battle that we're supposed to be in. And most Christians are living the life of ease, and they have no burden, and they have no tears, and they have no worry, and they've got everything the world has to offer them, and they have forgotten that somebody else suffered for the cause of keeping them out of hell. And that's what we're here for. Church is not just here to sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and clap our hands and have a good time. And thank God we can. But we're supposed to leave out of here and get back into the battle. The cause. The battle. Keeping people out of hell. Leading people to Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. We're not here just to occupy space. And he was more loyal to the cause of Israel than he was anything else. And let me tell you something else I just seen. This is just nitpicking, okay? I saw where these Olympians are taking the knee now instead of standing up and saluting the flag. Take the uniform off of them. Take the gold medal away from them. Send their little hiney home and say, you're fired. You will not represent America anywhere on this planet and until you get right with our country. They're disloyal to the cause of freedom. Amen. I think a man, when he runs in battle while his friends stay in the foxhole fighting, somebody ought to shoot him in the back as he's running away. Yeah. And it's probably happened a lot too. But I'll tell you this, there's a cause higher than me, and there's a cause higher than you, and that's the work of the Lord, and we'll be loyal to it.
Amen.
People come in here and they'll say, yeah, preacher, I'll teach Sunday school, and then don't show up half the time. That ain't loyalty. You took up the cause of teaching the Bible, you ought to teach the Bible. Be there. Preachers come in here and they'll say, I'm a preacher and I want to help. Well, what they really mean is, I want to stand up and talk while you do the work. and then before you know it, they'll get mad at me. I always tell them when they come in, now we don't need another preacher, we got one. Because before it's over with, you're going to be mad at me and you ain't even going to agree with me. You're going to hightail it out of here. And y'all know what I'm saying. Disloyal to the cause. You ought to be loyal to a cause. One thing I can say about our past two generations, well, maybe three, well, maybe farther back than that, my generation, okay? We had causes. They might not always been right, but we had causes. A lot of young men went to Vietnam and died for the cause. A lot of them went to Afghanistan and died for the cause. A lot of men went to Iraq and died for the cause, while others burnt flags and cussed America. Look, they're not loyal to the cause. The cause of freedom demands sacrifice. But here's a soldier who would not. He said, I will not. I will not enjoy life as long as my brethren are out there fighting for the cause. You know, most people have switched churches at the wink of an eye. Amen. Now, like I said a while ago, not all churches are good. I know that. But I got more respect for somebody that'll stay for a while and try to get it straight than one just jump ship at the first sign of trouble. Amen. And then I want you to notice this. Man, I'm out of time. Romans 13. Romans 13, real quick, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to go ahead and start reading. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now he's talking about God and government. God and government. The Christian and his citizenship. Did you know we ought to have at least a general obedience? I mean, we ought to be loyal to those in authority over us. If I get pulled over by a policeman, I'm respectful. I'm older than he is now. Every one of them, I'm old. I hate to say that. I'm older than every one of them. But I'm respectful. I say, yes, sir. No, sir. To a lady, I say, yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. To preachers, I say, yes, sir. No, sir. Let me tell you something. We ought to show a little... That's a good sign of loyalty in a person, by the way, if they obey those who have ruling over them. You know what I'm saying? If they obey those over them. If you ever go to a church and all they do is backbite the preacher while he ain't around, you need to either go have enough guts, go tell the pastor, or leave. Because those people are not loyal to their pastor. These people that talk against the president, that's making them more money than they've ever made in their life. They're getting raise after raise. That's got them safer than they've ever been.
Yes.
Now if you're going to get killed, it ain't going to be in war over maybe Afghanistan or somewhere like that. It'd probably be on the streets of Chicago or somewhere where a liberal Democrat runs the city. You might get killed there. But you'll be loyal to your country. And those in authority over you. Look, Ezra chapter 6, I know, I'm going to read it real fast. Ezra chapter 6, verse 10. Ezra 6, verse 10. That they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors unto the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and of his sons. There it is. Loyalty. You pray for people in authority over you. Pray for them. Pray for them. That's what it says. Prayers was made for the king. And we ought to do that. And then look at Joshua 22. And I'm just about through. I'm winding down. Joshua 22. Look at it. Look at verse 9. Joshua 22. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go into the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, the half tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by the Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, half tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, the whole congregation of children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. And the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben, children of Gad, half the tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead, Phinehas, and the son of Eleazar, the priest, and with him 10 princes of each chief house, a prince throughout all the tribes of Israel, and each one was in head of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. And they came unto the children of Reuben, Gad, half the tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead, and they spake with them, saying, thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that you've builded you an altar, that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, which we are not cleansed unto this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord? But that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord. And it will be, seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over unto the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us. But rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us, in building you an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass in the cursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man perished not alone in his iniquity? Then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, the Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, in Israel he shall know, if it be in rebellion or if in transgression against the Lord. Save us not this day, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if the offering thereon burnt offering or meat offering, or if it offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself require it. And if we'd not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, in time to come your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us. Skip on down. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Then we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering, nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children, ye have no part in the Lord. And here's what they were saying. They were saying this, because we're on this side of Jordan, these tribes were given land on this side of Jordan, and the rest of them were on the main part of Israel. They said, we got to build us an altar because we're not over there where Jerusalem is. And so we got to build an altar. And if we don't build an altar, then our children will get confused. Well, let me tell you something. God didn't like it. It was disloyalty. You can't build your own altar. You can't make your own sacrifices the way you want to do it. This is not Burger King. Have it your way.
Amen, brother.
Amen?
Yes.
And God hates disloyalty. And the children of Israel said, listen, if you do this, God's going to treat us just like he did with Achan. Whenever Achan got out of the will of God, all those people lost their life on account of him. So we're not having this. You know what? Every once in a while, we need to look at people and say, God hates disloyalty. You're not being loyal to the Lord. You're not being loyal to your family. You're not being loyal to your church. You're not being loyal to your nation. You're not being loyal to your friends. God hates disloyalty. But you know the greatest loyalty there was? And I said I was going to quit. But John, the greatest loyalty of all was John chapter 10. I'm going to read it to you real quick. Look at verse 9. The greatest loyalty of all. Jesus is speaking. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But he that is an hireling, in other words, does it for money, and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
Yes.
You see, I'm not like these crooks that came around before. They were hirelings. As long as it benefited them, they'd stay with the sheep. But the moment trouble came, they'd take off. He said, I'm the real shepherd. And he said, I'll lay down my life for the sheep. And he proved it. And I'm glad he adopted me into the fold. Amen.
Yes,
I'm glad he went out there and got me and brought me in. Now he says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He said, you're in my hand, my hand's in the Father's hand. Now that's the ultimate loyalty.
Yes.
That's the ultimate loyalty. He will be loyal to us even when we're not loyal to him.
Always.
One of these days I'm going to preach about Gomer in the Old Testament. Yeah. I'm going to preach about it.
Had a loyal husband. Loyal. Now you listen to me. Jesus will be, he'll stick us closer than a brother. And he laid down his life for us, his sheep. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Now the least we could do, the least, is not go chasing after other gods. But to love him and serve him. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inerrant.